Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Back live in Leesburg, it's Spanky Shenanigans. It's your boys Grant and Danny on the Fan. I just saw these numbers from PFF, and look, their grading is just, it's one type of data that you're going to get. It's not the end-all be-all, but the bottom four defenders that they graded for Washington yesterday of all the players on the field, Mikey Sanders still, 29 grade, Marshawn Lattimore, 29.1,
yep.
Quan Martin, 32.8, Will Harris, 37.9. It's quite literally your four starting defensive backs.
That fits with what we saw, how open guys were, how easily Green Bay moved the ball through the air.
I just sent probably the dumbest, most waste of time text message I've ever sent in my life. You ready for this?
Yes.
We're out in Leesburg, right? You know who lives out this way is Jason Bishop.
Uh-huh.
I texted him and said, what are you up to? Want to come by and hang out with us at Spanky Shenanigans?
That is adorable.
Now, that was about 19 minutes ago.
Go ahead, read the response.
Thus far, no response.
No, read what he says.
Thus far,
He
hasn't gotten back. But it's possible we'll get Bish Bucks to roll out here. What do you think?
Possible I could, get that male modeling contract I've been after for so many years.
The NFL, the Commanders coming your way on the Blitz. Let's start things off with college football. It is time to go blitzing, and on the college gridiron, we talked to our pal Denton Day over at SiriusXM, does some work for the college football station, of course, BetMGM Network as well. Denton, what is the highlight this weekend? Give us a few of the games that stand out.
So certainly the big one is going to be Georgia and Tennessee. You get that one right at 3:30. You get a bunch of ranked teams, and you get to find out as Tennessee, who's put up a lot of offense through the first 2 weeks against virtual nobodies, can they do it against a team like Georgia that's coached by Kirby Smart? So that's going to be the big one. You get Texas A&M and Notre Dame and USF and Miami in the main event slot, 7:30. So there'll be a bunch of good games, good action going on this weekend.
Florida. Right? Is it as bad as I think it is with them? And they got a big one this weekend as well. Number 3, LSU. They got to go to their place.
Well, it depends how bad you think it is, because I got to be honest, Danny, it's probably worse. That loss to USF, unless USF ends up being this team that runs the table, goes unbeaten, beats Miami, wins the national championship, which they won't. But in the event where that does happen, the 0.0001%, then maybe that loss doesn't look as bad. But this was the year that Florida was supposed to not lose those games. Billy Napier survived the swinging hammer, if you will, last year. They thought he was going to be gone by like week 5 last year. He survived, got a good season, has his quarterback. Well, you have your quarterback, you're supposed to win these games. So there's no excuses anymore. It's much, much worse. If he gets to October, I think that'd be very, very impressive.
Speaking of coaches in some trouble, Coach Pry and the Virginia Tech Hokies in a gotta-have-it weekend now against Old Dominion. There is no excuse not to beat ODU after starting 0-2. Thoughts on Pry and on Virginia Tech and then on this matchup?
They seem to be trapped in this like circle of struggle. It's been 10, 15 years, it feels like, where every time you feel like they're going to finally take a step forward, they find out to take two steps back. And I thought with Drones, they played well at the end of last year, that they'd be able to transition that into this year. And then what we saw against Vanderbilt last weekend was atrocious. You're right. They need this one. They need to beat ODU. They're so much more talented on paper than ODU. Like, at least with Vanderbilt, well, that's an SEC team. With ODU, they're not a Power 4 team. So you have to go in there. And I would really encourage Virginia Tech to win with some style points because the questions are arising. What is the future of this program? And if you lose to ODU, those are only going to get louder and louder. So they need this one this weekend.
Now, you mentioned South Florida. They got Miami, number 5 in the country. Really impressive opening win. They beat Bethune this past week by 277 trillion, numbers approximate. They got the South Florida team that you mentioned here on tomorrow. They get 4:30. That's a big one. How legit is this Miami team?
They're much better because of Carson Beck. And I say that because Carson Beck doesn't have to do everything. They have a run game. And Carson Beck didn't have a run game last year at Georgia. When he was forced with doing a lot more at Georgia last year, it didn't work very well. So they've taken a little bit off of his plate. You allow a dual threat offense because of that run game behind him. So he just can sit back and pick the opposition apart. And if you give him a lot of time, he can make a lot of the throws. that are going to be necessary. So I do think Miami's legit. I think they're a little bit better than they were last year. The problem is going to be the head coach. Can Mario Cristobal, can you trust him in big games? And this is a big game this weekend, but you know in the ACC, if you achieve the things that you want to achieve, you're going to be playing much bigger opponents, Florida State, Clemson's, all these guys. Can you hang with those teams? So the coaching situation at Miami is still the biggest question mark. It's not Carson Beck. It's just Cristobal in these big games always tends to go number two on himself.
Denton Day on our Beltway Blitz. Thanks for talking college football with us.
Appreciate it, fellas.
All right, let's talk about the pro game. Hopping up to the league, BetMGM Network's PJ Glasser on Grant and Danny's Blitz. How good are the Packers?
They're really good, guys. Obviously, the Micah Parsons trade we knew was going to help the defense, but the pass rush that they had last night against Washington, the way that they were able to get going against Goff and the Lions, I've been really impressed with their defense, and I think their offense, it's going to come along. You know, they got to get the receiving room healthy. You saw Reed get hurt last night. They're waiting for Watson to come back at some point. I still think the Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC, but the Packers are definitely number two.
Who's got the most on the line this weekend? It's still very early, obviously, PJ, but, you know, somebody that maybe can't start 0-2 or someone that needs to play better than they did in week one. Give me a team that you're really focused on where it's like, hey, you almost got to have it here in week two.
I think it is the Lions, guys, because, you know, they're playing the Bears at home this week. So it's Ben Johnson going back to Detroit. You can't lose that game. And then week three, the Lions are on the road in Baltimore for Monday Night Football. So it's like you lose that game, go to 0-2, then you're on the road against the Ravens for week three and you're staring 0-3 right in the face. So considering how they didn't, you know, really score a touchdown until the end of that game last week, and now they got a divisional game against one of their former coaches this week, and you got one of the best teams in football coming up next week. I think it's a game that the Lions got to have at home, guys, so I think it's them.
Are you surprised with how quickly the walls seem to be caving in on the Niners, doing their normal everybody's injured thing, but it took 1 week this time?
Yeah, it is kind of crazy, you know, and again, Purdy's out 2 to 5 weeks, so we'll see how long he's actually out. You know, Kittle's on IR, but yeah, I mean, look, I think this is just what we have to accept San Francisco is. I mean, they were in the NFC Championship game, it felt like, every year the past 4 or 5 years or so, and now their players are starting to get older. They made a lot of moves on defense. Their coaching staff's obviously still very good with Shanahan and now Salah running the defense, but with all these injuries that they have, guys, it's getting harder and harder to trust them because, like you said, you know, I think a lot of people like them to bounce back, thought they would be better with the injury bug this year, and early on in the season doesn't look like that's the case.
PJ, I'm going to paint you into a corner with a few teams. We're going to play a little game I like to call good or not good. It's a game called good or not good. It's where I say a team, you tell me if they're good or not good. The Atlanta Falcons.
I think the Falcons are good, but they need Drake London healthy, and especially this week. If he's healthy and out there, I think they cover the spread. I think they can win that game against Minnesota.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think the Steelers are good as well. Their defense should be better as the season goes on, and I think Rodgers is going to be better than what we saw with the Jets last year.
The New England Patriots.
I don't think they're good. I was not buying in on the Pats. Drake Mays won one game as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I love Vrabel. I just don't think the talent is as good as other people do.
The Seattle Seahawks, good or not good?
They're a tough one. I think they're good on defense, but offensively with Darnold, I don't love them. And I think that kind of overtakes it. So I'll go not good with Seattle.
PJ, thank you, buddy. Enjoy week two.
Appreciate it, guys.
See you, man.
Let's bring in a gentleman who was on the couch in the basement with us
right
on,
there on
last
the couch.
Night's Grant and Danny Watch Us Watch the Game special. Our pal, Chris Russell, to talk about the Commanders.
The Washington Commanders.
That's right. You know Chris Russell from the Grant and Danny cast last night. That is his full-time job.
Yes.
Once a year or so, mm-hmm. he comes over and sits on the couch with us. It was mm-hmm. fun to have you at the Paulson household last night, bud.
Thank you, boys. I appreciate you. It was wonderful hospitality, great food, great fellowship, great fun, and then we had to watch the football game.
It was especially fun in the fourth quarter when you discovered that you were actually on camera. That was fun.
Well, yeah. See, so once again, this is, as usual, a great misnomer because you guys were all barking into your computers and your phones. We had to shut the feed off at halftime, so I wasn't aware if we were still on the main feed or or if we were on a different feed and we were doing something different, because I wasn't really paying attention. I had...
Key phrase there.
Yeah, well, it's true, but I just didn't know, and so I didn't know the semantics, and I was more worried about my friend Daniel Ruelier, who looked absolutely miserable, and it had nothing really to do with the football game. It just had something to do with being miserable around pals, and what else?
Okay, it was our fault, Greeny.
Right, yes. You guys know what you did.
We asked Danny to do anything other than between 159 and 629. And for that reason, we do owe him an apology. But he was a gamer. I mean, granted, he was very quiet and he didn't really talk. But he sat there the entire time. I thought that was very nice.
I know.
I'm going to rattle through a bunch of things that went terribly yesterday. Mm-hmm. I want you to go low concern, medium concern, high concern.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Matt Gay misses two field goals.
Medium concern.
Marshawn Lattimore looked like 2024.
I'll still say low concern for now.
Josh Connerly got worked over.
High concern.
Jaden Daniels, back-to-back games where he hasn't been sharp. Worst game as a starter.
Medium concern.
Kinlaw and Payne come back down to earth after week one.
Low concern for now.
Austin Ekeler out for the year probably.
Medium concern.
Dietrich Wise out for the year.
Medium concern.
Clock and game management by Dan Quinn. End of the half and then burning all his timeouts.
Big concern because it's 2 weeks of slop and chop in a row, which I don't remember a whole lot of last year.
Slop and chop. Define that for
me. The old slop and chop.
I'm not familiar.
You got to pay extra for that.
Yeah, it's like what they did to my car.
So Dan Quinn stole the game and left it in Upper Marlboro.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Understood. By the way, can we hear it for Rainey getting a new car?
Rainey's car.
Took a few weeks.
Chris Russell's car.
After getting his car stolen, he does have a new car.
Yes.
So,
very efficient.
Going back to one of those things, high concern on Connerly. Take me inside of that.
Yeah, I mean, just because we knew this was going to be a really, really tough matchup against Micah Parsons. My thing is they beat him inside. They beat him outside. And it's a combination of getting beat off the snap, getting beat by power and speed. Also, the fact that, 2 weeks in a row, obviously, going against two very good pass rushes. It's not going to get any easier with Max Crosby coming to Washington next Sunday and the Raiders, right? That's where he lines up. So he's getting a baptism by fire, but they need him to be a lot better in every way because right now, without Cosme there, listen, no offense to Nick Allegretti, that's kind of a weak spot already, or a weaker spot. You can't have your entire right side of your offensive line be shredded mozzarella. So Josh Connerly's got to grow up pretty damn fast. And look, there aren't many easy Sundays. And again, Max Crosby is coming to town.
So this is not, the late 80s 49ers with Rice and Taylor. This is not the Bengals with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins in their prime. It's Dontavian Wicks and Matthew Golden and a bunch of guys without many deposits in the league. And Jaden Reed was out for most of the game with that shoulder.
Yeah.
You're not concerned at all that they said, hey, when everyone needs some yards, we'll just run a guy in motion and pick on Marshawn Lattimore.
Well, that didn't
bother you at all?
I'm concerned. I was more concerned with how they used him last night. Like, I told you guys on the stream, last week they didn't have him trail Malik Nabers at all. And maybe we found out the reason why last night. But it was like, okay, we're going to have him trail against a bunch of 9-to-5 ham and egg receivers and expose him that way because we can't get pass rush, we can't stop the run, we can't win at the line of scrimmage, so we're going to have him trail. Whereas the week before, they obviously didn't do that. So what is the plan? What is he? Have they misevaluated him? And how are they using him the right way? Right now, I would not have Marshawn Lattimore trail anybody, quite honestly. So to me, I was a little bit thrown off by that. I want to see how they use him next week because I like how they used him better in week one. Granted, the situation was different than last night, but I didn't love how they used him last night. I think that's too much asking him to do, quite honestly, at this point.
Who's the bigger loss if they're both done for the year? You said medium on both. I'm actually high concern on both, but Ekeler, who does so much for them on offense, or Wise, who is such a big part of their run stuff.
Well, I would say Ekeler just because of what he presents in the short passing game and even as a speed back option. And right now they can't and don't want to run the football. they don't seem to have a level of confidence in Chris Rodriguez. They'll say all the right things, but he never plays if everyone's healthy. He's got to wait for somebody to drop like a fly. So how much confidence do they have in Chris Rodriguez? And then last night, they basically ignored Bill and, again, the entire running game. So right now, when you take away Eckler as a screen option, as a check down option, as a arrow route option, as whatever option, and even, again, as a speed back option, when you take that away and now you put in a guy that you seemingly don't have confidence in, unless they go and make a trade for somebody that I'm not necessarily expecting today, I'm left with going, well, how are they going to compensate for that? Whereas Dietrich Wise, I know what kind of leader he is. I know he was brought here to help anchor the run, set the edge, all that stuff. It's a big loss. Leadership, all that. It's a big loss. But I think between Javonte Jean-Baptiste and a couple of other guys, I think they might be able to get away with that one a little bit more than Eckler.
Russell, we know you're an accomplished baseball player in your day.
Yes.
So playing T-ball is beneath you, but nonetheless, I'll put a ball in a T for you. Was their camp too soft?
Oh, hell yeah. That's how, you know, I know I was walking around the Navy Yard earlier.
Yep.
Just strolling about, yelling
at
people.
Through my closed car windows, by the way.
Yes, just strolling about, yelling at people, and telling them what I thought about Dan Quinn's camp. I called it Club DQ, boys.
Oh, that's very different than Club J.
Yes, exactly. Club DQ was in full effect this year. Now, listen, if you want to tell me it's because you played 20 games last year, I buy some of that. But it was too soft, and the preseason was too soft, and everything was too soft, and I think it's shown in two games, even the game they won. Absolutely.
Chris
and I
Russell.
Don't think the offense was crisp at all during training camp. I mean, limited spurts, but I really, and I don't think it was just Terry McLaurin.
Chris Russell, one of the hosts of the Grant and Danny Watch Us Watch the Game series that you see on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Reenie, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Have a nice weekend back to the Navy Yard.
You as well. Enjoy week two, my friend. We just got another plate of shrimp. I'm just getting tired watching Toby eat shrimp.
So he's at what now?
He's at 42 shrimp. He needs 49 to surpass Terry McLaurin, and he's kind of put it on autopilot. He's basically coasting at this point, right? He knows he's going to surpass him. He's very confident in the fact that he's not going to be stopped. So now you're just going basically 55 in the right lane.
Yeah, there's no worries here. I mean, we've still got about 2 hours left of the show. I'm going to try to polish off about 7 or 8 of these things. We'll get up to a round number of 50.
You got a little 50 burger.
Yeah, we'll just call it a day.
Here's number 43. Go ahead and get it started.
Going
here.
Jordan at the Garden here as a 40-year-old.
That's right. Number 43 is going down the chute. They're delicious, aren't they?
So good.
It's so good.
Blackened
so good.
Shrimp at Spanky's Shenanigans in Leesburg.
It's honestly one of the best dishes I've ever had. Like, it is delightful.
Really, really great. So this is going to be easy for Toby, but are you at a point where, let's say he had like 76 yards. Can you say confidently you could do 77, or are you starting to hit a wall?
77 would have been a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about 65?
65 would have been a struggle.
Like, okay. Are you starting to feel it?
So you needed,
are you uncomfortable
you
at all?
You needed a low Terry McLaurin total to win. I mean, you got it. You got it in the 40s.
I could have powered through, but, you know, 49 is pretty easy, but I was going to have to actually work if I was going to get over 60.
He has not yet broken a sweat. You can watch Toby cross the 49 threshold on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube this hour here on Grant and Danny. We're taking you up to 6:30 from Spanky's Shenanigans. Major injury concerns coming out of this game. Big-time injury concerns. We'll get into those next on The Fan.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
with Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We are in Leesburg hanging out at Spanky's Shenanigans. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. Means a lot to us. There you go. That'll do it. We'll be here until 6:30. So as you get out of the office, come on out and hang out with us. We are, I would say, commiserating together. That's the right tone to strike, I think.
That's what's happening.
Misery loves company. Yeah. Last night was bad. The Commanders in primetime. A letdown performance. We haven't seen one of these in a little while. This felt like a Rivera-era game in a sense. Because people were so excited. In fact, yesterday we're doing the show, and our boss came into the studio. I don't know if you remember this.
Like, I do, of course. Yeah.
During a break, and he's like, "How cool is this?" He's like, "When is the last time that Washington was going to play in a primetime game against one of the best teams in the league, and you felt like they had a really good chance to win? Not only that, you knew they were going to play well and not embarrass us, basically. And everyone in town was amped up for it, and all the vibes were positive."
Yeah, everybody's in. Everyone's excited. Everyone feels good. The stories and the questions, quote unquote, are all football ones. No nonsense, no investigations, no shenanigans, no BS. And, you know, it's obviously really disappointing how it happened, but the point stands, right?
That was the tone last night before the game, and it didn't actually play out the way any of us thought, because nobody had a shellacking in the office pool. I'm not going to sit here today and ride the game-to-game wave in September of the start of the season to say now that a Commanders team that a lot of us felt like could be a 12-13 win team is going to be terrible. And I'm not going to pretend like now they're a 7-win team, but I do have concerns. And one of my largest reasons for being anxious moving forward now is the injuries, which I want to get into. But I want to pass along one thing, and still don't have all the information or the details on this. This is not some firm report where I'm going all Adam Schefter here. But I have heard. So you saw Jaden Daniels get folded up at one point last night, and he got up limping pretty good. I'd heard that he got looked at this morning. You know, you have a bunch of treatment for guys and MRIs for different players. A half dozen guys were getting evaluated today, and he was one of those players who was getting imaging done on his knee, it sounds like. And I wonder about that moving forward. He was limping, and until we hear more, I'm just curious, but I did hear that he had to be evaluated on that knee and that it's something they were looking into right after the game.
Yeah.
Now, no one's really talked about Daniels' health, but the last time we saw him, he was limping, and it sounds like today they're doing some imaging to see what's going on with a knee that didn't allow him to move normally this morning. So until I hear everything's on the up and up, that worries me.
Yeah, everyone should be worried. Again, this is my list of concerns with him. It's one long. It's that. It's the, you know, the hits, the awkward landings. I mean, again, everybody, fairly or unfairly, can draw similarities back to Robert Griffin, but similar body types in the sense they're both long, lean, you know, long striding type athletes, and both have been folded up an awful lot, right? Just sort of the, and you know, 99 times out of 100, Jaden Daniels pops right back up and has that killer smile on his face and is laughing at you after a good hit, and probably, you know, disconcerting for the opponent until it's not, until it is the right hit or wrong hit, so to speak, where a rib cracks or you know, the helmet gets knocked off, he's got to go to the blue tent, or probably should, and it's something worse. So I am concerned that some of those middle into too much defense type runs or scrambles scare the hell out of me. I mean, to me, I love that sideline, get out of bounds, slide early, make people miss, use your speed to be elusive and avoid the big shots. That's what I want. But some of it's inevitable. Sometimes you got to stand in the pocket, deliver, like he did against Cincinnati, one of the throws of the year to Terry McLaurin. That's part of the position. That's inevitable. Some of the other stuff, not inevitable, and I want more safety.
Well, you could come out of a game banged up where you get tackled and it's awkward and you're limping a little bit, you know, in the locker room or whatever, and not have to get imaging done the next morning,
right?
So, you know, when you hear that he's one of a handful of guys that are really being evaluated and that they're trying to get internal looks at what's going on, just gives me pause and makes me nervous. Who's the bigger loss, in your opinion, in terms of a long-term injury for this team, knowing that Wise is out for the year and expecting that Eckler with an Achilles could be as well? If one of those two guys is going to end up haunting them by not being available, who'd you go with?
So I think it's Eckler. I'm catching a little bit of Eric Flack from some folks that think I overvalue his contributions because he's not touching the ball 20 times a game like it's 5 years ago, and you know he's a first-round fantasy draft pick. To me, I always say this. In In basketball, it's this way with the alphas, with the superstars. In football, it's this way kind of to the same degree. Sometimes you need easy, and he provides the easy. Not that DeSean Jackson strike up the band, you know, one play for a possession, it's 80 yards, but you've seen multiple times over the years, the couple years he's been here, where you start the game against the good opponent, Eckler right, Eckler left, now the ball's past midfield, and we have a drive. You've seen it. And he makes things easy. He turns that little screen pass on a first and 15 into a 16-yard gain and a first down. They don't have anybody else really that could do that outside of Deebo Samuel. And Deebo's a similar kind of player, close to the line of scrimmage, not a deep threat. So because they don't have an explosive DeSean Jackson type dude, not many of those guys grow on trees, that the amount of times he was going to touch the ball, I talk about this all the time with basketball, not every bucket's created equal, right? You look at a box where a guy had 10 points, so what? Well, was it in the third quarter when the other team was making a run, when nothing happened in the offense and there's 1 second left on the shot clock, he gets a really tough step back? Or is it a layup in transition or a 20-point blowout? Right? Not all buckets are equal. Not all yards are equal. He gets a lot of tough yards made easy for this offense. I think they're really going to miss him.
I get that. I agree with you. I think pretty much anything he's able to do in the open field in that way, Krosky Merritt might be able to do. Now, there are skills he possesses that JCM does not. I think he's a better pass protector than anybody else they have on the roster. McNichols is pretty solid. I think he's a better pass catcher than anybody else they have on the roster. McNichols, my guess is, would take over in that capacity as well. So McNichols might actually be the big beneficiary from playtime right away.
More so than Rodriguez, you think?
Yeah. I think so, just because of the skill set. Remember, last year, Rodriguez was kind of Robinson's backup, and McNichols filled in for Eckler when he got hurt, because they have some experience of this where he was out with a concussion. He missed several games last year. I don't want to say they didn't miss a beat, but they kept chopping wood. And that's why my answer to this question is Dietrich Wise. And I don't want to belittle the Eckler loss, but I think it's pretty significantly going to be Wise. His size just is irreplaceable. He is a monster. And his run-stuffing propensity for a team's entire mindset was improving on both sides of the formation. I think there's going to be a regression there. When Peters came on with us, if you guys didn't hear the interview, it was really, really good right before the Giants game on the station a couple weeks ago today, I think. Maybe it was about 9 days ago now. He basically said, my number one priority this offseason was up front on both sides of the ball. We wanted to add size on defense and stop the run, and we wanted to get better on the offensive line. He didn't say the running back position. You know what I mean? He didn't say, like, Austin Eckler as a pass catcher or adding explosiveness at running back, because you can get by without that. You can win in this league with a seventh-round tailback who's already your number one.
Right.
I think if they can't present size and strength up front and stop the run, then your defense regresses really quickly.
Yeah, so the plan was they were going to improve on both fronts. Like, the idea was you improve pass defense by improving run defense.
Right.
Meaning, let's get you in third and eight. Let's stuff a couple of runs here and there, and it will be much better instead of third and four where everything's on the table.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
With Wise out, who plays more at end?
Martin.
Who's known more for pass rush.
Yep.
Who else?
I think they might run some, you know, more jumbo stuff at certain looks. Maybe it means Luvu walks down more. Maybe it means, you know, Johnny Newton kind of swings out there maybe on first down. I mean, I don't know.
So the reason I'm asking is every other defensive end basically that they have is rusher over run
yes.
stuffer. You know, Von Miller playing more, who you're trying to use only when they want to pass, right?
Right.
Jacob Martin is a better pass rusher, in my opinion,
100%
than he is a run stopper. I think you're right. I think they probably have to kick a guy like Newton out to end some, or Payne out to end some, or whatever, on running downs, and go with size with Goldman and Kinlaw in the interior. But the design was that Wise was going to be really important.
That was the plan.
And now you're just not going to have him healthy. I would pose that question to you guys about injuries. Like, what do you do moving forward without Eckler? What do you expect to see at the running back position? And then the loss of Wise as well. You know, how does that change your sight line on the defensive line? You can call us at 800-636-1067. In about 20 minutes, Michael Phillips, Odyssey Richmond, was in Lambeau. I want to get a feel from him on the environment with the Packers taking it to the Commanders last night. We're in Leesburg at Spanky's Shenanigans, live on this Friday on The Fan.
Hey,
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Commanders are 1-1, and they've got themselves a mini weekend bye here. The Raiders will be in town for week 3 in 9 days. The show, when we talk football, is presented by Paramount Plus. That's what our football combos are brought to you by. You can count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You know, one thing going into the game I don't think we talked enough about. You remember the playoff game between the Packers and the Cowboys. Few years ago when LaFleur, I don't know if they hung 50, but it was damn near close to it, just crushed Dan Quinn's defense. And then I went back and looked, and it's pretty clear. I mean, they know each other well. LaFleur was on his coaching staff as not a coordinator, but an assistant to Kyle, who was the OC at that time. But he was a member of that Shanahan staff that coached for Dan Quinn in Atlanta. I get the sense he just knows what Dan Quinn wants to do defensively, how he operates, what he's looking to do. It's almost like he's got his number. And I'll be honest, and I'll raise my hand on this and wear it, I just didn't think much about that all week. But it is pretty clear that when they go head-to-head, sometimes you just have a matchup that doesn't go your way. It seems like LaFleur's got Dan Quinn's number.
So I thought about it, but not extensively, to one of those, like, yeah, a couple years ago, a 9-8 Green Bay team went on the road and scored 48 against Dan Quinn's defense. That's something that happened. I also remember I tried a Sherbert once. You know, like I gave it the same amount of import. That's probably my mistake. I probably should have put more import on that as kind of a precedent for, yeah, he's kind of got the answer key to a degree.
And it looked like it last night. They were a step ahead of Washington constantly. I don't know what's more dejecting from the standpoint of critiquing the coaching night. How ill-prepared they looked, you know, how much behind what Green Bay was doing on all sides of the ball they were from a schematic standpoint, or frankly, just the game management. The end of half sequence where Washington was conservative and kind of coached nervously as if to say, we can't possibly give these guys the ball back. We're not going to go for the 4th and 4 from the 40 with the killer instinct, the anybody, anytime, anywhere mentality, the paradigm. Like, what does Dan Quinn always say? Let's get down, I think is his phrase. Like, that's, you know, let's fight, basically.
Right.
Let's go. Let's get down. Well, they didn't on that 4th and 4 from the 40. They sent out a kicker who struggles from 50-plus to kick from 58. I thought, you know, just throughout the night, they got away from what made them what they were last year.
To me, again, it wasn't just the decision to kick that time. It was that looked like the plan all along was to settle for a damn near 60-yarder, right? You had timeouts. You had clock. You weren't backed up at your own 2. You were at midfield, basically, and you were outplayed, thoroughly dominated, and had a chance to turn the game right there, right? Like, if you score, like, let's say it all worked out somehow. If you score a touchdown there, you get the ball to start the second half in a half that Green Bay should have been shellacking you. They weren't. That's an opportunity lost. You've got the momentum. Holy bleep, we got a football game. Instead, it was, my God, we can't try for anything down the field. We can't try to move the ball. We can't try to hurry up. Let's settle here for a 60-yard field goal from a guy that struggles from distance to prevent Green Bay from having a chance. Oh, wait, I'm told they already had it. They had a chance after the field goal. Like, everything about it to me screamed soft, inconsistent, not who they are. Basically, you know, whether they were timid, whether they were afraid, whether they were intimidated, I have no idea. I just couldn't believe that sequence. I thought that was one of the low points of in-game for Dan Quinn since he's been here.
Well, speaking of low points, I was just talking to Josh, who came out and is here and is a big listener to the show. And, you know, he was referencing being here for the Eagles Monday night game years ago when they got blown out. There were so many of these primetime games over the years that you kind of had to just cringe watching and then get made fun of the entire next day.
Mm-hmm.
The negativity about the team in the national media or like via text message from buddies is not going to be on the level of several years ago because they put some deposits in the bank. Where I think the opinion is going to be, ooh, the Commanders had a tough night because they just haven't had one of these under Peters, under Quinn. So you're going to get some benefit of the doubt. But this felt familiar. This really did feel like a Rivera era.
Yeah, we were here before them. We know.
Shellacking or some kind of previous era game where they just got off the bus and we didn't know it at the time, but they were running into a buzzsaw. They never really had a chance. We've talked about the likely season-ending injuries. The injuries still to monitor moving forward. Jaden Daniels with, I thought it was an ankle, but from what I'm gathering, it sounds like a knee. Got to keep track of that now as he gets looked at in more detail going forward. Also, John Bates with a groin, Noah Brown with a groin. It didn't take long with Noah Brown, did it?
Nope.
I mean, Noah Brown last year got hurt multiple times. This offseason got hurt in minicamp. Remember, he was carted off the field. The fear was it was very serious. Then training camp, he missed a ton of time with a knee injury. He was questionable even going into this game, still recovering. And this is now a different injury that he suffered. As we said before, you've got to bake into the Noah Brown experience. He might not be available a bunch. So now you've got McLaurin still getting up to speed after not having an offseason. Debo looks like a dog in the real deal. Noah Brown, who may or may not be available. Jalen Lane, who's a rookie, who hasn't quite shown that he's ready just yet to make a bunch of plays for you. Luke McCaffrey caught a ball last night. That's the wide receiver room.
Yep.
If they want to elevate Chris Moore from the practice squad, he caught a 30-plus yard pass in week one, they could do that. But I think they've got to start looking into some personnel outside the building at a few spots. Receivers got to be one of them. And one of the very minor things that happened in the news yesterday, maybe that didn't get a lot of credit or in the headlines. Did you see they reworked Laremy Tunsil's deal?
No, I didn't actually see that.
So they actually pushed a bunch of money down the road and added some void years and did a bunch of things. Basically, they freed up cash this year and next year. And so I'm kind of wondering why that is. And I hit up one of the guys at SpotTrack to have them explain to me what would they do this for? And he said basically if you want to be aggressive at the deadline, you would do this if you want, or you could roll money over. I wonder if they're not, they're a contender. And if Adam Peters isn't thinking, we may need to go add a piece. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a running back now. I'm not sure if that's a defensive end for Wise. But I do think they should still be shopping at wide receiver because they just couldn't get guys open last night.
Yeah, I thought so in the offseason as well. I mean, again, I understand you don't want to go over to the $22 million Devontae Adams tier. I fully get that. I don't want to pay Cooper Kupp a three-year, $45 million deal at this stage of his career. I don't want it in the Stephon Diggs market, et cetera. They didn't have any interest, though, as far as I could tell. Josh Palmer, DeAndre Hopkins, who didn't sign for very much money, DeMarcus Robinson, Keenan Allen signed for $3 million to go back to L.A., right? After his couple performances, you wouldn't be intrigued to have that guy as a possession receiver, second or third option. I understand he's not a 125-catch maven anymore, but probably could help you. A few more deposits in the bank maybe than off-injured Noah Brown.
All right, Toby Altizer is closing in on Terry McLaurin. So for those of you that don't know, out here in Leesburg, it's Spanky Shenanigans. This day is about two things. Figuring out why the Commanders got kicked in the teeth.
Yep.
And watching Toby eat more shrimp than Terry McLaurin had receiving yards last night. He took this challenge on not knowing how many yards Terry would go for.
This was a blind yes from him.
There was a chance it could be 157. That didn't happen, unfortunately. For Terry, it was 48 receiving yards. How many shrimp have you consumed?
I'm at 47. So
47
the next
shrimp.
47 shrimp.
47 shrimp.
All right, so the people of Spanky's, as he finishes the challenge, I want to hear Toby, Toby, Toby. Toby.
All right, here's 48.
This is to tie Terry McLaurin, shrimp number 48.
That's 48. That's 48.
Putting it down with ease.
Continental 48, United States. Continental 48 shrimp for Tubbs.
Are you full, or could you do another 15 if you needed to?
That would be a struggle.
Okay, that would be a struggle. I haven't seen him, quietly go into the bathroom yet either, so that's very impressive.
It's very impressive.
Stomach's holding up okay.
This is Toby Altizer.
To surpass Terry McLaurin with shrimp number 49.
With sauce, 49.
Ladies and
49.
Gentlemen. He spiked the shrimp tail.
Spiked the tail.
Didn't even break a sweat. Michael Phillips, Odyssey Richmond, joins us next on The Fan.
Good boy, Tubbs.
Hey,
It's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.